Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Righty, a very good afternoon to you if you have just tuned in. It's myself, Lukhom Kwedi-Phuthi, once again. And happy Friday if you have just tuned in. Once again, we are at that moment where we have leadership conversations. And this afternoon, once again, I am joined by none other than Dr. Johan Slabbert, who's the CEO and founder of the AGL Group, as well as Dr. Johannes van Staden Slabbert, who is the managing director of the AGL Group. And both are co-founders, by the way, of the Pinnegan Management and Executive Leadership Development Foundation. So I'm really excited to have you gentlemen back in studio. Good afternoon and welcome back to Radio Pulpit.
Thank you, Luca. It's wonderful to be back. And thank you for allowing us the space to be with you and your listeners.
Oh, man, really great to have you with me. So that was Dr. Johan, if I guessed the voice right.
That's it. Well done.
How are you doing, Dr. Johannes?
I'm doing well, Luko. Thank you so much. I'm here ready for an interesting discussion around leadership. Always lovely to be on the program.
Oh, man, absolutely great. Now, today, I believe we are taking a bit of a twist or a turn, and we're talking about integrating wisdom into strategic decision making. Very interesting. So how can organizations integrate wisdom into their strategic decision making process?
All right. Thank you. Look, I think the conversation maybe we can link it with where we ended off the last time, and that is the invitation from God for us to listen with our heart, and then to listen to what it is that God is inviting us to become. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, we ended off with the invitation to say, you know, let go and let God. And then I shared that piece that said, a bird doesn't sing because it's got an answer. Mm-hmm. It sings because it's got a song.
Sure.
So wisdom links into that perfectly. So once we, maybe just before we get going, to reflect on what we spoke about in terms of defining wisdom, and I think in the context of leadership and management practice, wisdom is seen as integrated knowledge.
All right. So
wisdom is when we get to that. Remember, we spoke about the four levels of human development. We started off with saying we all start off, whether it's a new career or a new business that we work for, or, you know, it is academic studying. We all start at a level where we are unconsciously incompetent. So we're not aware that we don't know.
Yeah.
And then through our training and exposure, we end up, at what we refer to as the uncomfortable space of becoming consciously competent. So, you know, to sort of, I now know that I don't know, and now that feels very uncomfortable for my ego false self, because it is so focused on impressing others with what I do and what I have so that I can be rejected, received and never be rejected. And we'll sort of almost do anything not to be rejected.
True.
Now, that phase of the uncomfortable, consciously incompetent goes with a lot of self-doubt. Am I good enough? Am I going to be okay? Am I going to be able to digest all the information? Am I clever enough? Am I skillful enough? that is the phase where we question our own abilities, but normally it is sort of given meaning through either anger, fear, or shame.
Mm.
Once we overcome that, once we overcome the anger, fear, or shame sense-making lens, like the prodigal son that sat in the wilderness and was confronted with anger to himself and all his friends that has dropped him, shame that he cannot go back home, fear that what is dad going to say. It's very similar scenario where we have to go through the phase of dealing with that deep-rooted limiting and self-doubt, which is driven by an ego defense. Now, once we overcome that through training, coaching, development, and life experience, we then move to what we said, remember, the conscious competence. So I'm now at a level where I'm consciously aware that I can.
Mm.
Now, at that level, where most individuals, unfortunately, get stuck at, and most organizations get stuck at, is that ego sense of a sort of an arrogance. I know that I know. So you know, I need to be respected because I know that I know. Now, the challenge now is to, you know, for us is to move beyond that point. So we're going to move organizations. You know, I've seen so many organizations that get to the point where the brand is so strong that nobody can tell them anything.
Sure.
They are so entrenched into the momentum of the large turnovers of revenue that, excuse me, it's a sense of arrogance. I've been here long enough, I've paid the price, and nobody can tell me.
Sure.
Now, it also happens to the individual,
mm-hmm.
And it's a sense of the development of the organization and the individual stops if we get stuck there. So we need to get beyond the prodigal son being caught in the wilderness. We need, remember we said the first steps in leadership development is self-healing.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't move beyond self-healing, it's impossible to develop any leader, period.
Yeah.
It is impossible to even contemplate management development without self-healing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the prodigal son had to go through, being in the wilderness and meeting Jesus, his Christ, our Christ, in the wilderness to help him with a relationship, as Jesus is the relational truth, to help him with a relationship with self so that he can self-heal. Now, in that process of self-healing through Jesus, which carries the ultimate wound, so he meets us in our wound, and the self-healing paves the way towards wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
It takes us from that conscious competence, that arrogance, that pride just before the fall. It takes us from that point, and it sort of leads and paves the way to unconscious competence, meaning I'm not even aware that I'm brilliant. Now, wisdom is linked to that fourth phase of human development. Now, unfortunately, we are not seeing a lot of managers or leaders moving beyond the conscious competence.
Mm-hmm.
So what we need is a vertical integration, which again resonates with wisdom, because wisdom is not in the head space.
Mm.
It's not in the head. That's why we say simplistic or linear thinking or problem solving can be done by reason,
mm-hmm.
but paradoxical, complex problem solving needs to be done by the heart. It needs to be done by the heart in conjunction with reason. But the mind or the thinking mind is put under the control of the heart space of the intuitive theology, of the spiritual. When you move into the heart space, it's where you start dabbling and put your toes into wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So remember we said moving from that conscious competence into unconscious competence, we need to build a chassis of trust.
Mm-hmm.
I think in one of our earlier conversations, we spoke about that chassis It's sort of the vehicle that we're going to use to move from that conscious competence to the unconscious competence. We're going to need a chassis of trust. So I need to self-heal through Christ. I need to then build my personal relationship with Christ, meaning I trust Christ. I then trust God. I trust the Holy Spirit will show up when it is needed. And I start trusting myself. Mm-hmm. I start trusting, and that's the breakthrough, trusting yourself. Because deep down, 99% of us, 99.9% of us don't really trust ourselves. So you need to get to that point where you really trust yourself. And once that trust hits in, you can then start trusting the organization. You can then start trusting your teammates. You can then start trusting in where you are going. You're sort of setting yourself up for purpose through trust, higher purpose through trust. So once that chassis of trust is in place, it then helps us to migrate. And I use the word migrate because it's not a straight line. Mm-hmm. It is not I move from A to B. You migrate from conscious competence to unconscious competence because you're moving into the sacred space. There's not, I decide this is where I'm going to enter and then I'm going to arrive. No. Mm. It starts by being available, being open, and being ready to listen to God's invitations through your heart space. Once that's in place, you can now start recalibrating old belief systems. Mm-hmm. Old belief systems, which we've used past experiences and past emotions to make sense of, and then we park it in the submodality of the brain, and then it becomes a belief system that sits very deep within our psyche, but it actually controls our behavior, how we show up in life, how we show up as a father, as a mother, as a brother, as a sister, as a manager, as a leader. So you take the newly calibrated belief systems, through Jesus' promise that I will renew your mind, I will renew your thoughts. Mm-hmm. You then take that and you sort of stack it on the chassis of trust. And then that combination, that sacred integration, sort of moves you into that space of unconscious competence. Excuse me. And that is the dwelling space of the Holy Spirit. And that is the access into wisdom. So when we look at how organizations can integrate wisdom, one of the most often remarks that I get from business leaders is to say, business moves so fast, we hardly have time to sit and access heart spaces, to access wisdom, to be able, to deal with complex and often paradoxical situations. The challenge that we have, remember last week or 2 weeks ago, we spoke about that we're moving from a knowledge-based economy into a wisdom-based global economy, mm-hmm. which means it's no longer a choice. Mm. It's no longer up for discussion.
It's a place we need to get to.
If you don't move yourself and your staff and your organization into that unconscious competence environment where ego plays less of a role and the heart with empathy, love, compassion, care, and mercy takes over in terms of the forward-leaning energy, mm-hmm. there is no ways that you will survive in this global economy, which, by the way, is getting chaotic or more chaotic by the day.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
We have to start with organizational culture. You cannot bring wisdom or open the organization for wisdom if your culture is not orientated towards fostering a culture of reflective processes. Mm-hmm. So just before we just move on and just assume that everybody, you know, is on board with organizational culture. Let's just look at a definition. Organizational culture is made up, all right? It's a large family, and it's made up of shared sort of values and beliefs,
mm-hmm.
but it's also made up of assumptions and worldviews about how people see or perceive reality. So it is a deeper laying philosophy that sort of, help us to understand the construct, the system that drives the organization through what is acceptable behavior, mm-hmm. how are we going to interact, and then how are we going to make decisions. And at the end of the day, once we've made the decisions, how does the activity level look within the organization, and how are we going to carry it out?
Mm-hmm.
So that is organizational culture. Very complex, but if you do not put the heart space, the love, compassion, care, and mercy in the center of the organization, you can imagine that everything I spoke about here, shared values, beliefs, assumptions, behave, interact, is going to become an ego-poked environment that's going to be filled with anger and fear and shame and a whole lot of unnecessary wasted energy. So organization culture needs to be positioned with heart space at its center.
Mm.
How do we do that? It's important to create space for intuitive thinking. It is important to create space where we allow for reflective and reflexive practices.
Mm-hmm.
It is very important to check in with all three centers of intelligence. That means my reason says that this is what we should do. My gut, my body intelligence says that I'm ready to act on it and I know how to do it, but you need to check into the heart space and say, if I execute, what might be the emotional and spiritual impact on those within the organization? You need to check into all three. Now, generally, in fast-paced business, we check into gut space, the doing,
mm-hmm.
often because things move so fast, and then afterwards we'll think about it and go, okay, I can sort of rationalize why I did it. And you find this in relationships so often. You see within marital, or you know, within a marriage, or within the family, that often we will say things, act on things, and later go, oh, geez, maybe I shouldn't have done it in that way because it's upset the family, et cetera, et cetera. It's because we haven't tipped into the heart space before we acted.
Sure.
So it's important that ethical considerations is sort of find its roots within that, and all stakeholder inclusivity. So this involves then creating spaces, within our company, nationally, we create spaces for silence.
Mm.
We create spaces for intuitive theology. We create spaces for dialogue. We will encourage mindfulness practices, and we will be focusing a lot on implementing decision-making frameworks that is assessed more in terms of its long-term consequences and alignment with core values rather than short-term profits.
Mm-hmm.
So by doing so, these strategies become infused in the spiritual sphere. It becomes rooted into or connected to the unmanifested love creation energy of God. And once you start doing that, you then get your managers, your leaders, your staff, and their families and all stakeholders to become more resilient and more attuned to the broader societal and environmental context.
Okay. Now, tell me, Dr. Van Staden-Slabbert, how does wisdom then interplay with emotional intelligence, and why is this crucial for leadership?
So, look, I think just to recap on our conversation of a few weeks ago, that emotional intelligence is the leader's ability to manage their own emotions, right, to self-regulate, but also to regulate the emotional responses that flare up as a result of other people's emotions.
Wow.
Right? So if you look at emotional intelligence, it's actually foundational to wisdom. So it enables leaders to be self-aware, manage their emotions effectively, practice accurate empathy. But wisdom sort of takes it to the next level, where it integrates emotional awareness and ethical decision-making and a long-term vision. So a leader with a high EQ can, or with high emotional intelligence, can navigate interpersonal dynamics skillfully, but a leader with wisdom knows when and how to apply the emotional intelligence for the greater good. I think I made the analogy the last time we spoke. You know, knowledge is knowing tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad.
Exactly.
You know, so the wisdom allows the leader to know when and how to apply the emotional intelligence for greater good. So a leader that's driven by wisdom ensures that emotions are harnessed constructively, leading to better judgment, deeper trust by the followers, and more meaningful connections and interactions with organizations and communities. I made this point a few weeks ago where I said, you know, business will always be business. There will always be KPIs. There will always be goals. We'll always chase profits. But how we go about doing it is it's a choice. It's an option on the part of a wise and emotionally intelligent leader. I think answering the question as to how wisdom interplays with emotional intelligence, I think wisdom takes emotional intelligence to the next level. They both work in tandem with one another.
Wow. Now, we've discussed the role of emotional intelligence, but what about spiritual intelligence? How does it complement wisdom in leadership?
Spiritual intelligence, and this is really been part of my academic research for the last, 14, 15 years. Spiritual intelligence is a wow conversation. Spiritual intelligence are also referred to as the super intelligence.
Okay.
Now, years ago, I had a long debate with one of my friends, also a theologian, doctorate in practical theology, and we were talking about crystallizing the meaning of spiritual intelligence. You know, how can we crystallize it into the tangible? And at that stage, I remember, and this is really about 10 years ago, we sort of agreed that spiritual intelligence is that intelligence you need to be able to meet Jesus in your wounding and the ego wounding, and then through that process to start healing yourself with Jesus, and then to start the journey with Jesus back home to God, which is at the core of your soul. So spiritual intelligence is to sort of undertake or have the ability, or it sort of gives you the mechanism to undertake one of those inner pilgrimages. So when we talk about spiritual intelligence, it's the intelligence with which we address or solve problems of meaning and value. It's it's sort of the intelligence that we can place our actions and our lives in a wider, but a much richer meaning-giving context.
Mm-hmm.
It's the intelligence with which we can assess that one course of action or one life path is more meaningful and more purposeful than another. So spiritual intelligence is the necessary foundation for the effective functioning of IQ, so rational intelligence. It sort of shapes the framework for emotional intelligence, cultural intelligence, foresight intelligence. It is really the intelligence of all intelligences. So computers, for example, have a high IQ because they know what the rules are and they can follow them without making mistakes. Mm-hmm. Now, animals often have a high EQ. They, emotional intelligence, they sort of have a sense of the situation that they're in, and instinctively they know how to respond to it appropriately. But neither computers nor animals ask why we have these rules or this situation, mm-hmm. or whether I, you know, either, you know, this could be different or better. They sort of, you know, IQ and EQ are sort of framed, you know, within boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
But we could also say they play the finite game within the material.
Mm-hmm.
But spiritual intelligence moves you to that unconscious competence where you move into the infinite game, where it allows you to become creative. It sort of, you know, change the rules and to alter situations. You know, it's this ability that if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Mm-hmm.
It allows us to play with these boundaries and to be comfortable and trust that infinite gain.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of gives us our ability to discern, God's voice mm-hmm. in the heart, or to discern the world or the voice of evil or dark.
Mm-hmm.
It gives us a moral sense, and not man-made ethics. It gives us a moral sense and an ability to temper our own rigidity, our own closeness, our hardened hearts. It sort of helps us to soften the heart so that God may be able to teach us again.
Mm.
It is to temper those or that feelings of rigidity with understanding, compassion, and an equal ability to see when compassion and when understanding have its limits. So, if we look at business in the concept of leadership and management, and probably, you know, puts a huge invitation out there, and I want to put a huge invitation out there to every single leader and manager, not just in South Africa, but throughout the globe. And I want to challenge them to say, it's time for you to start, if you haven't, to start your own inner pilgrimage. It is time for you to start your spiritual journey.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you're going to miss the bus. So when you look at leadership, this spiritual journey, and it's not a month journey. It's literally you start with it and then it becomes a journey for the rest of your life. There's never an end to the development of spiritual intelligence. It's a pose, and it's about the alignment of leadership with higher values, their brand's higher purpose, and a sense of interconnectedness, while emotional intelligence helps us navigate relationship, spiritual intelligence now provides that deep-seated absolute truth of God that guides relationships, that guides decisions, and guides our behavior. So leaders with a developed, strong spiritual intelligence generally make decisions based on integrity and compassion, and sort of a vision that extends beyond their own personal or organizational gain. So these leaders recognize the interconnectedness of all the stakeholders, ensuring that their leadership contributes positively to the broader society. Not just what's good for the organization, for the broader society and the upliftment of those that we so often marginalize and push to the boundaries of our economic playing field. You know, wisdom is spirituality.
Mm.
Spirituality and spiritual intelligence is wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
It moves from being merely strategic to being transformational. It fosters this, what I spoke about, that chassis of trust. It fosters the belief systems and the recalibration of old belief systems that is no longer helpful in one's career. It helps with ethical decision making. And at the end of the day, long-term sustainability. So organizations worry about today, next month, the quarter, and the year. But if you want to be sustainable as an organization, there is no way that you're going to find a shortcut to long-term sustainability in this volatile and uncertain global economy without spirituality and asking for the grace of wisdom.
Sure. Wow. Now, I think this is also a very important one as we wrap up this afternoon. How can organizations then practice, because I think this is very important, practicality is everything. How can they practically implement wisdom-based leadership principles into their corporate culture?
Okay, I think, in a way, we sort of touched on some of it. But, if you want to implement wisdom-based leadership intent. you need a fundamental shift in corporate values and practices. Mm-hmm. You know, we get people, I get so many organizations contacting us and saying, please, their HR or organizational leadership in terms of culture, they say, listen, guys, our culture has become so toxic because of the uncertainty. Everybody's fighting with everyone,
mm-hmm.
and we really need an intervention to bring order in the chaos.
Sure.
Now, wisdom brings order into chaos.
Mm.
Not rational thinking, not being smart in a boardroom. We need the smart in the boardroom. For heaven's sake, I've been there 35 years. You need it.
Exactly. Right?
You really need it. You can't do without it. But there is no ways that you will, position your business without. If you want hope in your business, you want a future, the organizational culture needs to foster a learning culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, teams, we used to refer to teams as problem-solving units.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's what you've got. You've got a management team, and they've got sales marketing, they've got finance, there's operations, there's HR, there's IT, the whole lot is there. Now, mm-hmm. up until I would say COVID, maybe a year after COVID, teams were still seen as problem-solving units.
Sure.
Now, it's no longer. Now, the guys look at me and they go, but surely they're there to solve problems. They go, no. Mm-hmm. You see, because uncertainty has taken over, we now need teams to become learning units.
Okay.
So you need to shift from the problem or the primary problem solving unit, you now need to start positioning your team so that they understand this is a learning unit. Because there's so much change and an absolute overflow of information, the team to deal with uncertainty needs the intent to go, okay, we'll solve problems, but we'll learn first from one another.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a fundamental. mindful, so where does it start in terms of practical? You know, the first thing we would do if we walk into an organization, so one of our sister companies, Novexa, actually does this, where we walk into a company where they feel that their culture has become toxic, we will then walk in with a plan of action, but the plan of action is to, it starts with, we need self-healing. Then we move to, self-healing helps with emotional intelligence in terms of what Johannes spoke about, to self-regulate. Once mm-hmm. we start self-regulating, we can now say, please stop trying to impress yourself in the team. You are here on the team because you're good. You don't need to justify it every time you walk into a meeting. Point number one. Secondly, we now want you to stop acting as if you know everything because you don't.
Mm.
You don't. But the challenge within organizations is we still celebrate and we still reward individuals that have an above average ability to pretend that they know everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because at least if I've got a guy in my team that pretends to know everything, then as a leader, it takes the pressure off me because I go, well, I don't, but as long as he knows, well, at least I can keep him accountable.
Mm.
And you see, that's not healthy. It's not healthy. So you move in to get the units, the teams to become learning units, and then you then start putting spirituality at its core.
Mm.
Spiritual practices, so mindful leadership practices where you encourage centering prayer, meditation, open awareness meditation, contemplation about the decision that you need to make. Get your team to sit in silence for 5 minutes. I want to also challenge your listeners and for those leaders and managers out there, please just try this. Take your team, mm-hmm. if you haven't done it.
Okay.
Take your team to Monday morning when you walk into your office and you go, no, before we get going, we're first going to sit in the lounge area.
Mm-hmm.
And I want all of you to check in. I want you to share with the group, share with your team, how was your weekend in principle,
mm-hmm.
and how do you feel right now?
Wow.
If you just do that, most guys that we sit with, and I remember 10 years ago when we did it in our own organization, the first time we called our guys together to do that, they all look at us as if we've gone totally bonkers, we've gone mad. All right. The MD and the CEO is asking, check in and tell us how you're feeling. You see, I want to challenge, if there's managers and leaders, please try this with your team on Monday morning, and I will sign a memo to say to you that and take full responsibility that you'll be blown away by the reaction of your staff.
Sure.
You'll be blown away. It is so important for us to just start creating those spaces.
Mm.
And at the end of the day, we don't need to figure it out. Luca, we need to know and we need to no. We don't need to figure it out. We will figure it out through the space, the sacred space of allowing God the Creator to work in His creatures. God does the heavy lifting. We don't do the heavy lifting.
Otherwise, we'll labor in vain. That's
absolutely
so true.
I attended a friend of mine when he did well, he presented a sermon, I can't remember where, but it was probably one of the shortest sermons I have ever listened to in my life. But I walked away gobsmacked. He literally got on the pulpit, and he opened with prayer, you know, the whole ritual in terms mm-hmm. of getting together on a Sunday morning. And then his whole sermon was about, if you are feeling that you're carrying heavy and that you're really under strain and that you're carrying a lot of concerns and worries, put it down because it's not from God.
Yeah.
And then he said amen and then he left. Now let me tell you, that was something that stuck with me for all these years. We really need to understand
sure.
God initiates the invitation.
Mm.
Our job is to listen with our heart and pick up on the invitations and respond to it.
Sure.
That's all we need to do.
Mm.
We don't need to do the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
God does it.
Yeah.
And I think it is, you know, whether it's a Christian-based organization or not,
mm-hmm.
the principles will remain absolutely the same. Absolutely
mm.
the same. And I think Johannes just wants to say something about
Telegon
before we greet you for a wonderful weekend.
Definitely.
So Luco, maybe just to add to what Johan said, you know, there are practical steps that, you know, that can be followed to actually implement this in, mm-hmm. in any organization and to enhance the organizational culture. And this is exactly what we do at Pentagon, is to take our delegates through, you know, creating spaces for mindfulness practices, encouraging meditation, contemplation, reflection, making sure that they understand how to align their business strategies with, you know, ethical and moral values. You know, this whole thing about coaching and mentoring, having this empathetic, you know, outlook, practicing accurate empathy towards your staff, asking them how are they feeling, like Johan mentioned, you know, implementing these coaching endeavors with leaders to access deeper levels of self-awareness and purpose. These are all practical measures that can be used to enhance this culture. And as Johan said, I would like to echo that we really want to put the challenge out there to each and every leader and manager out there to really
just check in Monday morning.
Just check in Monday morning with your staff and
wow.
just be overwhelmed by the reaction.
And I'm wondering, Luco, I know mm-hmm. we're running out of time.
But yeah, go ahead.
But this is something on my heart now. I'm wondering, is there any way that your listeners, you know, in terms of, you know, the managers, and please for the families as well,
mm.
put your family around the table and ask them to check in. How was your day? I've got this practice with my family
mm-hmm.
Where we sit around the table, my wife, myself, three kids, and we all check in at dinner. How was your day?
Wow.
What was the high? What was the low? And how are you feeling right now?
Sure.
And let me tell you the change that it made in my family.
Wow.
So I'm just wondering, because
it's so easy to just go ahead with life, and we're not really an understanding of one's emotional state and where they are in life, and to just take that moment to listen in and understand where they are in their head and their emotions and their heart.
Absolutely. And in that space, we meet the I am.
Mm.
We meet the I am, because God is present in those in that space, in the now, when the individual sort of connects with the heart space. And I'm wondering whether it would be possible, because it'd be quite interesting to get some feedback from your listeners that have tried it. Maybe with their families and the business guys, please don't be shy.
Yes, please.
I know you're going to get a look as if they all think you've lost the plot, but it's okay. It's going to change the culture of your company.
Oh, man. I think actually, Dr. Johan, what we must do, what I'm going to do is on the next episode that we're going to have, as soon as we start, I'm really just going to open lines for listeners to just text through and tell us how it looked like, whether they've, you know, taken up the exercise, how it has benefited them thus far. It's really important to hear, really, you know, the change that's taken place. I'm also going to implement it in my family, definitely.
Please do. Definitely. Please do. And I promise you, my children, don't look at me as if I'm mad. In actual fact, the youngest one, about a week ago, he saw that I was taking a bit of strain. So he said, Dad, don't you want to check in quickly?
Oh man, gentlemen, oh, we could go on and on. I just noticed it's 5 o'clock already, but I think before I let you go, a quick one. We know who's the quickest. Ways of communicating with you guys, how do we reach out to you?
Yeah, so Lukul, thanks. I think the easiest way to communicate with us is through our website. Mm-hmm. So we invite all your listeners to go and have a look at www.pinnagon.com. And they're more than welcome to communicate with us through there, send us messages, give us a call if they have any questions.
Oh, man. Dr. Johannes, thank you ever so much for such great wisdom. Truly appreciate every second of these conversations.
Thank you so much. All but by the grace of God. Thank you. No?
God bless.
All right. Cheers, Nat. Bye-bye.
The words of the Lord are words of life. Your heart is on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you. Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.